today on Real Radio.
You know, we are human beings that are fallen creatures, and we have mood swings up and down and all that stuff. We need to learn how to dwell with one another, live with each other, understand each other. It's not possible. It takes a lot of time, and even then, it takes a miracle.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. This series is designed to show us what it looks like to thrive as a Christian, even in chaos and confusion that happens in everyday real life. You know, the truth is, we need the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to not only do the right thing, but to stand up for what we believe in. Walking with God in all things and in all situations helps us to see the world from God's perspective. But there's nothing more contrary to practical Christianity than divorce. A Christian marriage is bound by the promises of God and devoted to the Word of God. It is not designed to fail. With that being said, what must a Christian do to save the marriage? So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that being a Christian means we no longer belong to ourselves. Marriage is a covenant with God, putting Him first and then our spouse. That's why a marriage gives us depth in our ministry and is worthy of being protected and fought for. And now in his message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What real love is all about and what a marriage is, it is an absolute union and it's spiritual. It's ordained by God. And the world makes it a horrible thing. The world makes fun of it. The world tears it apart. Why do you think the world approaches it like that? Because it was created by God. Why do you think the world wants to re-engineer it? Because it was created by God. The world hates marriage. The world hates a husband and a wife and children. This whole worldly system is against it. A commitment of marriage? Yeah, you know what? You shouldn't rush into marriage. You need to pray, Christian. You need to seek God and seek godly counsel. Listen to the Lord. But we need to stop and realize that you and I, first of all, are servants to that spouse of ours. All right, raise your hand if you heard me. You're awful quiet about that one. I'm gonna say it again. I might come down there and make you hear it. We are to be servants to our spouses. When your wife throws up, you clean it up. When your husband breaks his ankle, you know, you take out the trash. It's a love thing. It's not a feeling. It is a decision. I'm going to love her. And listen, a Christian, the context, which is what we speak of tonight, I'm going to love her because God wants me to love her. And when you begin, you say, that sounds very unromantic. Here's the cool thing. That when you obey God, and we'll talk about that in the end, when you obey God, everything kicks in. God rewards obedience, and you're saying, I just can't find that perfect person. I can't find Mr. Right. I can't find Mr. or Mrs. Miss Right, Miss whatever. You know what? I think I'm convinced now. Look, I can say this. I'm 51 or something. I forget now. It's kind of nice. I'm losing my memory as I get older. But I know this. I've been married 30 years, and I know this, that you make marriage happen. You just make it. And I'm not going to tell you publicly what I do to make our marriage happen, but I can't wait to make our marriage happen. And what do you do? Well, you know, I don't have that feeling anymore. You ever hear that before? I just don't have that feeling anymore. You know, I'm not sure if I ever really loved her in the first place. Listen, that is when you stop and you remember who you are in Jesus, that you and I were a bunch of rotten, stinking sinners saved by the grace of God, and we need to get our sights realigned and think again that my God loved me when I didn't even know who He was. My God made His commitment to me to take me to heaven, and I didn't even want Him. My God died on a cross for my sins and rose again from the dead, and I wasn't even yet born. You need to remember, because if you start to have grandiose thoughts about how wonderful and flawless you are and this marriage, you know, if it wasn't for me, no, wait a minute. So Christian, listen up. Avoiding divorce is getting a very healthy view of who I am in this marriage. And you arrest those thoughts. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Number two, being a Christian and avoiding divorce, we need to do this. We need to remember that you and I no longer belong to ourselves. This is kind of fun. We don't belong to ourselves. And you say, well, I don't like that. That's very chauvinistic to say, oh, wait a minute. Not at all. Because did you know, no matter how independent you think you might be, that every human being has a desire to be loved and to be, for a lack of a better term, to belong to someone or to be, in a sense, owned by someone. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean an arm wrapped around you, a hand being held, a commitment being made, a covenant being established. Every human being longs for that, unless, by the way, the Bible says God has given them the gift of being single. And there are people who have that gift. They just want to be single. And the Bible says that those people are made for ministry. I mean, they're just serving Jesus, perfectly focused at all times. It's great. It's awesome. But listen, you and I need to remember that you and I do not belong to ourselves anymore in our marriage. So, well, who do we belong to? Well, of course, obviously God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God made us. He owns us. Oh, so then it's God and me, right? No, I didn't say that either. The Bible tells us that it's God first, and then it's that spouse. See, why? Why is that? Because marriage is a ministry like no other ministry on the planet. Oh, Pastor Jack, I'm going to go to seminary. I'm going to become a pastor or a missionary. Hey, that's fantastic. That's great. But just know this. Until you're married, you're going to be missing some depth to your ministry. Why? Why do you think Timothy warns us about a pastor being married to one wife and having his kids under rule, under his command, under his stewardship? Because it says, if he cannot take care of his own home, how in the world will he ever be able to take care of the church? And we got people running around today who can't even take care of their husbands or their wives or their children, but they're commanders of a church. It's all upside down. Oh, I'm going to go to the ministry. I'm going to become something. You want, hey, you know what? If I was a dictator of the universe, I would have you go to marriage school for a while. I'd have you do that kind of a thing. Because let me tell you, you can talk about how to raise kids until you have kids. You can talk about how to run a marriage until you have a marriage. And that's when real ministry takes place. I don't care if you preach to 1,000 people and 1,000 people get saved. Listen, what's it like in your home? What's it like in the four walls of your house? Remember that you and I do not belong to ourselves. We're married. And that means we belong to them. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. And I think that's the problem today with the church, with so many believers. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you how to be. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. My life lived out for Jesus is only visible in reality to my wife. Or if it's your husband, to your husband. You guys, how many of you have kids? Raise your hands. Lots of kids. Listen. Our children know exactly the kind of Christian we are. They know. And again, I told you that Lisa and I have heard it all from my dad has a walk with Jesus that I want to have, and you hear that from kids. And then we've also heard that a young lady doesn't want to go home anymore to her house because she had her girlfriends over to her house for a sleepover, and they had a great, wonderful time, and they went to go turn on the computer to look up something, to goof off and whatever they were going to do. And they, I mean, it was absolutely innocent. They were telling us about it. And when she opened it up, she didn't realize that she had at her dad's computer, was out there, and opened it up to pornography. And her friends saw it, and her friends won't come to her home anymore. And she doesn't want to be in her home anymore. She can't even look at her dad. And her dad doesn't even know. Kids know what's real and what's not. Kids know. How is mom treating dad? How is dad treating mom? You need to protect your marriage at all costs. It is the most precious thing you have on this planet, says God. I thought it was my car. You thought wrong. People will do anything. But so many times people give up on marriage. It's to be fought for. And sometimes you don't realize that it's precious until it's been either taken away from you or threatened. But we've got to be so wise about avoiding divorce that we shore up those things that could possibly bring a temptation. Are you a Christian tonight? Then what are you doing? If it's yes, what are you doing to defend your marriage? You say, I don't like my husband anymore, Pastor Jack. Listen to me. What are you doing to defend your marriage? I didn't ask you if you like your husband anymore. God has you in that marriage, but I don't like the way it's going. Then listen, it can be fixed through Christ. It can be fixed. It can be fought for. It can be turned around. It can be made great. And by the way, in that, God is glorified. When you look back and say, listen, young ladies, I thought I married Bozo the Clown. But after about 3 years of going through this stuff, we made it through and came on the other side, and I wouldn't change a thing. I want you to know, in all fairness, I hear that a lot as well. God is powerful. You just got to let him in. But if you build up the wall and you constantly raise all of these standards against how bad she is, how rotten she is, how it's never going to work, and I don't think I ever loved her in the first place, you know what? You are fishing for destruction. And it will destroy you. The biggest challenge I have tonight and during the course of these Wednesday nights on divorce is getting you to stop thinking like the world, as the world has taught you. The Dr. Phil thought process. Or what are these talk shows? Are they even still on anymore? Huh? The world is conditioned the way that we think. And if that doesn't do it, then we talk to friends, ungodly friends. And they'll tell you, well, you know what? You deserve it. You should do this. You should do that. You deserve it. Or you should go do that and really, you know, pay her back. Or you should do this and pay him back. Know this. God's not in it. And you're not sinning against your husband or your wife. You're sinning against God. And you're going to ruin your own life. I know the emotions are strong and they're so loud and they're so convincing, but you've got to fight that. Number three, listen, being a Christian and avoiding divorce means this, that we need to know. We need to know this, that you and I have all that we need for success if we just turn to God. If we raise our hands and say we're Christians, then we must obey and turn to what God has to say for marital success. Understand this, God's on your side. I don't need to belabor this verse. You know it well. Genesis 1, 27 to 28 says, God created you and your husband in his own image. He created you and your wife in his own image. God established marriage. He wants it to work. That ought to give you a big breath of fresh air in your lungs. No matter how bad your marriage is, God wants your marriage to succeed. And he created both of you in the image of God. That means there's hope. And you will choose to either say, yes, you know what? I want to walk out. I want to leave. I want to end this, but God wants me to stay. That's right. God wants me to make this work. That's right. In Psalm 103, verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. That ought to give you hope. Can you look at your spouse that way? And you know, we give Satan too much credit. When there's a battle going on, you know what I'm talking about, battle? I don't know. You know you're in a weird kind of battle when you don't know why you and your wife or you and your husband are not doing all that well. It's like, what's going on? And it's like, there's a big question, you know, did she like slap me in the middle of the night or did I like miss something? There's spiritual things, but you know what? Sometimes we give Satan too much credit. You know, we are human beings that are fallen creatures, and we have mood swings up and down and all that stuff. We need to learn how to dwell with one another, live with each other, understand each other. It's not possible. It takes a lot of time, and even then, it takes a miracle. The Bible, Peter says, husbands ought to dwell with their wives according to understanding. That is a miracle. You say, well, why did God do that? Well, remember, it's post-fall. You and I live post-Eden, but also know this. God knew the fall was going to happen, and that's why the Holy Spirit is so powerful in our lives that we'll just let him. The amazing thing is, if you let God be God in your marriage, all the stuff that you guys are arguing about right now and brushing up against each other becomes your strength. If you just let him take control like that. It's absolutely amazing. And you're like this. You see her doing that thing? What are you doing? Why do you leave your toothbrush like that all the time? I mean, the thing's, it's 5 inches from you. Just put the toothbrush back in the holder. Is that too much to ask? What's the deal? You say, yeah, you know, how come people can't get married who both of them leave their toothbrushes on the counter? That's when we're doing premarital counseling. Do you pick up your underwear? If he says no and she says no, then you're going to have a great marriage. There you go. But God doesn't bring people like that together, do they? It's amazing. What do you like? Hot dogs? What do you like? Filet mignon? Oh, they're going to have a great marriage. No, I mean that. I mean that in a great way. Actually, they will have a great marriage. If you agree all the time with each other, you have a boring marriage, man. Have you noticed that God brings opposites together? Man, he's loud. She sure is quiet. Huh? Isn't it funny? That's not an accident. The inside of you, literally. By the way, we know this in an in-depth study from the relationship that Solomon had with his wife. We know from the Song of Solomon that God created us with certain strengths. You, each of us, have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. In those areas, for example, a person who's introverted, they're more quiet. They're quiet, they watch everything, they're thinking all the time. They don't say much. You just won the lotto, $100 billion, and they just go, right on. Have you noticed that person, they're attracted to the person who's very outgoing? Why? Because there's a part that God's engineered that it, through that person, in that person, fulfills that need, that want, that respect, that joy. And by the way, it's a two-way street. It's a beautiful thing. But listen, it's to fit together in harmony. Those things that are opposing are perfectly strengthening that union because they come together. If they constantly bump, then there's disunity. The very things that you think that your wife or your husband drives you nuts about and that shouldn't be that way, you need to back up, take a deep breath, and reconsider that maybe I'm fighting against or I don't see the strength in this thing. And we need to reapproach it. It happens every day. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, listen, are you married to a Christian? Well, they say they are. Is anyone in Christ? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, says the Bible. That congressman or senator you heard from a moment ago, his wife made that last statement that they've been reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, Christian, that means even in your marriage, and I believe it's supposed to start there first. Oh, I'll tell you how much I believe it's supposed to start there first. I'm telling you right now, one of the great things about defending your marriage as a Christian, now listen, as a Christian, You and I are to be in our normal Christian lives living for the glory of God, right? Each and every one of us. Now, that's because of our love for God. Now, when you get married, or if you're married, your love for God should be, all right, hang on to your seats, hold on. Your love for God should be far greater, far more prominent, far much more a reality. Your love for God should be than your love for your wife or any person on this planet. You say, oh, no, really? Oh, yeah, yeah, because listen, and believe me, you want your husband and you want your wife loving God more than you. Because, my friend, it's their love for God that will keep them in love with you. It's their love for God that will keep them out of the arms of another. It's their love for God that will keep them true to you when they've been in Chicago for 2 weeks at that sales convention. This is vitally important. If you mess that up, then you're setting your marriage up for failure. Don't raise your hand. Any of you engaged, any of you hoping that happens and all this? Listen, I want to tell you something. If she comes to you or if he comes to you, if either one of them comes to you and they say, you know what? I can't live without you. Let's tie the knot. Let's do this thing. So wait, what do you mean you can't live without me? Yeah, that's right. I can't live without you. I've got to have you. I'll just die without you. Then say, drop dead. You say, Pastor, isn't that what I want to hear? Don't I want to hear that? Isn't that commitment? Isn't that? No. Do you understand? Let me look again, 30 years of marriage. Let me tell you the truth on this one. They're saying, your life is all about me. That's what they're saying. I can't live without you. Translation, you are going to wait on me hand and foot. You're going to give me everything I want, when I want it, how I want it, when I want it, now. You are going to eat, sleep, dream, and move for me. You don't want to be married to somebody like that. You want somebody to say, hey, you know what? I love God. Are you going to go with me? I'm going to follow God. You coming? If he says, I'm coming. If she says, I'm coming. That's a good start. And you just follow God. And when you follow God and you keep following God, and you say, well, what does that mean? Serve the Lord. Do what you do for God, whatever he's telling you to do. And you know what? In a week, in a 2 month, 3 months, a year, you look and she's still there with you. What are you doing here? If both of you are following the Lord, now you're on the right path.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. Thanks for joining us today, and take heart. God is with you. He's for you, not against you. His love is constant, no matter what you're going through. Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're struggling in your marriage, by the way, or maybe you're getting ready to tie the knot and you'd really like some practical spiritual advice, check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Once you're there, look for the interviews that I did with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa. It's called Real Marriage, Real Life. There are some important subjects like dealing with our families in marriage and dealing with forgiveness in marriage. Pastor Jack and Lisa discuss the ways to put God first in every situation, especially in handling sensitive issues. Now, the series is called Real Marriage, Real Life, and it's on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can access his channel on YouTube or at our website if you'd like, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.